We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 3 years, 9 months, and 24 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Emerson alongside, this is going to be interesting. First roundtable podcast of the year. I'm joined today by Bruce Adams, Ned, and Marty Foster. It's going to be fun, to say the least. It was quite a fun prep session. We had a lot of laughs in there. I suppose we'll start with Bruce. How are you?
I'm healthy and alive, doing well.
Glad to hear it. Ned, how are we?
I'm fine. I was quite happy. You got plenty of company today.
So,
a bit of a giggle.
Yeah.
I am guilty of not catching up with the podcast, so.
That's okay. Like I told you on the phone this afternoon, it's been a slow grind to get everybody back into the swing of things, myself included. And of course, on for another day, Marty Foster, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm topped up full with painkillers because I've got a bit of a sinus infection and a toothache, but the painkillers are working. That probably explains how much I was babbling on during prep. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea to podcast when I'm this medicated. We'll have to see what happens.
Well, like I said, in prep, you could have just brought the bottle out there with you and you would have, that would have been even more interesting, I think.
I very nearly did. But no, I've done really well over Christmas. I've hardly drunk at all. Even New Year's Eve, I had 3 drinks. That was it. Although my significant other decided that it wasn't just 3 drinks because I was pouring about double measures. That was 6 drinks. And that's a lie. It's not, is it? I mean, who decided that 25 milliliters was a single measure? I tell you who.
Complex.
No.
Now he's talking about the meds are kicking in now. That's what it's all about.
He's going in a direction, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'll tell you who decided that. It was
some
bar owners and breweries that decided that, because that way they could charge you a chunk of change for your single measure and double for your double measure. One really. If you're going to have a drink, you want at least a double, don't you? Otherwise, you can't taste it.
I don't drink, so I don't taste it anyway. So I guess that's just me.
Well, we're
sorry.
Taking this on.
Indeed. This on. All right. Before we get down the road of complaining about alcoholic measures, you know, I suppose we shall get started into it. Ned, you said that you had some things on the phone with me today, and I'm interested.
Well, I just
to
said there's loads
all
of stuff
I
missed.
Oh, there's loads of stuff you missed, but you mentioned something about, well, we do have the meeting, the meeting in Davos coming up here pretty soon. You mentioned
what did we miss? They had the first meeting in 46 years. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm just trying to think of what you said. It was the UN meeting about water.
Yes.
And guess who hosted it, Marty?
Please tell me Gates did not host that.
No. Right, if you were going to host, this happened in March, and I didn't even realise it had been on yet, and it was the United Nations Water Conference, which was held in New York, and the first one and the last one was held in 1977 in Argentina for some reason. This one was hosted by the Netherlands and Tajikistan.
because you know there's a lot of water in Tajikistan.
So you got the Netherlands, which is fighting off the sea, and you got Tajikistan, which is quite happily toasting in a desert. And these guys hosted it. And what prompted me to carry on and have a look was because they did a bit of a quote at this, and it was a bit of an eye-opening warning. When asked what they were hoping for, they said a Paris moment, the climate Paris moment.
Yeah, yeah.
A bold water action agenda. So then you go looking back into it, and the week before, bless them, the WEF published an article called "The United Nations Conference on the Midterm Comprehensive Review of the Implementation of the Objectives of the International Decade of Action, Water for Sustainable Development 2018 to 2028. Bless them. So now water's going to be, you've got a water crisis now, apparently.
Everything's
yeah,
a
we have.
And we've got a massive, you
got
a
massive water crisis here in the UK, as around about one third of the country is currently flooded. There's plenty of water.
Come take it away, WEF.
Yeah, I tell you what the problem is. The problem is water companies in developed countries are not managing the resources properly. There is too much waste. There's still leaky pipes under roads and under housing estates. There is not proper catchment areas maintained or developed to cope with the amount of water that can fall out of the sky. Combine that with cloud seeding, which I'm pretty sure has been going on globally, and there may have been a bit of it around the UK, to make sure that we face a flood crisis.
Think about it, Marty. Add to that the 11,000 whirly gravestones you've got messing around with the hydrosphere.
Exactly. I'd mentioned a while back about the Rampion whirly gravestone plant just off the south coast that is causing tornadoes in the UK in Littlehampton.
I had not heard that one yet.
I told you about it.
Yes, I did.
See, I never had you down as a goldfish.
All right.
He's medicated. He knows what he's talking about.
Yes, he knows exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. That is not coffee.
It was going to be a cheap Spanish brandy in there as well, but I just came out with the coffee.
That's 11,000 offshore and 8,000 inland as well. We've got loads, mate. We've got a shitload in this country.
So they are messing with our weather, and people are flooded. But as I was saying in prep, it really amused me in a kind of dark gallows humour kind of way that the local news was saying, and people in Fordingbridge and Chandler's Ford are complaining about flood levels. The clue's in the title. Don't buy a house in a town with the word Ford in it. You got all these people living on river floodplains here in the UK because, oh, it's beautiful. Look, I've got access to the river and I can got these views and all the rest of it. It's not the place to build your castle, mate. Don't build on floodplains. So, yeah. Getting back to the actual point about this UN meeting about water.
Here we go. Back in again. What pissed me off about this and highlighted something, Marty.
Go on.
These unelected wankers, yes.
Yeah.
Why have they got diplomatic immunity?
Why have they or haven't they?
Why have they? They shouldn't have it.
You're talking about the UN people.
The bloody lot of them.
Yeah, they all have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
What do you know that we could actually charge them with if they were not immune from such actions?
Oh, I reckon there'd be a lot of digging, don't you?
Well, we can start with fraud. That's the first place we can start.
Yeah.
Fraud is supposed to be able to tip anything. In fact, it's supposed to be able to tip most laws and push them out of the way if fraud can be proven.
Not only that, but you've got the UN itself, as in like the building that it's in, that was given to them by the, I believe it was the Rockefellers, the Rockefeller family gave them the plot of land that building is sitting on. And technically speaking, the United Nations, once you enter that building, you are no longer in the United States of America. So there is no jurisdiction there.
Yeah, but we and you had loads of containers that normally go on container ships that were placed on certain airfields that all of a sudden became another country.
Yes. Yes, so that.
we perhaps shouldn't take that moral high ground. But I bet the building, as you say, the UN building, may have been offered for use by the United Nations, but I bet the Rockefellers still have the actual freehold on it. I bet it's leased. I bet there's something like
it. Could be
like
one of those, 99-year leases for like $1 or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I did.
No, we should have let those people bomb it when they had the chance in. It's obviously.
No, no, no. We can't make claims or suggestions like
okay,
that.
Okay, well, that's history. That's more brazen than what
I'm
I was
saying.
Say.
Let's bomb it. I said we should have done, should we, or what? Then you could have actually had another building where you could have actually started from scratch and said this is not.
I think they should just be expelled. At the very least, expel them and chain the door shut. That simple. Get out. I mean, where are you going to put the building? You're going to put the United Nations in, I don't know, Namibia? No one's going to take it seriously. They put it in the U.S. for that reason.
Simply looking at it, they are asking for trillions of dollars, pounds, whatever.
They're not asking.
Over the next so many decades, yeah? And they're unelected people, and yet they've got diplomatic immunity, and they've already had billions, and they haven't solved the hunger crisis, the water crisis. In fact, this Christmas, somebody was doing a water advert, and they were asking for £2 a month from everybody.
Joke.
And the UN was asking for 80 cents to feed the buggers each. So where's the money that's gone into them to do all this?
I said this the other day. I even posted a little thing on Facebook because it just amused me and annoyed me at the same time. I was watching one of the shitty channels, Virgin Media, one of the ones that no one ever flicks to, because I was bored. I was flicking through channels, and I found a program I wanted to watch. But then one set of ad breaks, there was Save the Donkeys, Save people in Africa who can't get clean water, the homelessness crisis and the refugee crisis right the way. Every single advert for about 5 minutes, either side of 15 minutes of program, were all charity. And if I'd have been, let's say, a vulnerable 80-year-old, with a debit card, a telephone, and an overstimulated sympathy emotion, by the end of two ad breaks, I would not have had a pot in which to piss. That'd have cleared me out. That'd have taken everything that I have. And they have done nothing. We've got a Monty Python moment coming up here. What have the UN done for us? I'll tell you what they've done for the United Kingdom. They made sure that the empire that we had, that we were no longer allowed to have, and made us give it all back.
I thought you were going to go into the donor sketch where they knock on the door and they say, donors, we've come to collect your spleen. Sorry,
I'm still using it.
I'm still using it.
I can't give it to you
actually,
now.
Actually, I don't have a donor's card. Oh, never mind about that. Off you go.
No, I can't remember who said it. It was an American comedian, and they gave a very sort of... could have been Emo Phillips. Does anyone remember him? No.
Good friend of yours.
Yeah, good friend of mine. He was famous for a very short time. But... he said, this guy was begging in the street and he said, do you have any spare change? I said, I don't know, because I haven't finished living my life yet. So no one knows whether you've got spare change or not because you haven't finished living your life. And a very wise Arabic gentleman said to me, Martin, you mustn't spend any money on things that are haram, like drinking, gambling and so on. I said, why not? I'd be miserable. He says, yes, but your family might need that money. And he was right. He's absolutely right. So charity starts at home. Make sure the family...
So he went and spent a shitload on booze and everything else.
Yeah, I wasted the rest.
Bruce, you're way in on the United Nations there. You haven't gotten your two jabs in there. I'm sure you got plenty to say on that organization.
Yeah.
Was that a COVID pun? Two jabs.
Yeah, two jabs, yeah.
And a booster.
Yeah, it'd be more than that.
Booster, I'm sure you can get four or five boosters in there if the UN's involved.
Yeah.
Come on, Brucey.
I'm for closing it down. They've, as you guys said, they've done nothing. But going back to the water crisis and everything that was there, Nestle had a great idea on how to solve the water crisis.
Yes, he did. Yeah, or they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Humans aren't entitled to water, are they?
Yeah, you're not entitled to it. It's what, like 3 gallons a day or something like that is all you're allowed to have.
Five.
Was it five? Okay.
5 gallons. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 gallons a day. Yeah, that's a bit absurd. Yeah, I think it boils down to the whole control thing. We've talked about it before. They're going after carbon emissions because carbon's needed for food production. They're going after water because life without water is impossible. So they're going after it's like, you know, when a castle or something like that, right? They're surrounding the castle. You blockade it and stop the resources from going in. And eventually the people will comply with whoever's attacking.
Under siege.
Kind of the same. Under siege, yeah. It's the same idea.
The people are under siege.
Yeah. And the people are under siege right now, and they're trying to take away your freedoms and your ability to live without being controlled by another. And that's basically what they're trying to do.
I didn't get my carbon for Christmas. Damn.
You didn't get any coal?
Sorry about that.
No, I didn't get any coal.
No, I was going to send him a dead lithium battery and the desktop version of a windmill that would catch on fire whenever it would spin.
Oh, what did I want to say? There was something you just tweaked. Carbon. Oh, yes. You're Mr. Hairstylist in Canada, Trudeau.
Mr. Trudeau, yeah. My hairstylist. Have you seen my hair?
Yeah. Carbon capture. Well,
is this these machines? Is this these machines?
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's basically sustainable technology, apparently. Hang on.
Sustainable. We did watch that. Let me see if I can dig that out, but continue.
But it doesn't actually produce anything. It's supposed to capture stuff, right? But you want to get this. It's funded by Canada Growth Fund, yeah? And this is how he's working it. He's a total twat. What a scam. The contracts are called Carbon Credit Offtake Commitment Project. So people, this is a credit scam. The company of all names is called Entropy Incorporated. Yeah, right. So at the end
Very
of
fitting.
All things.
Very fitting.
Yeah. It's a modular carbon capture unit. The funding, like I said, is from a Canada Growth Fund, which is subsidized, which is a subsidiary of Canada Development Investment Corporation, which is, funny enough, a Canadian Crown Corporation. Where does that fit in? Because I didn't manage to see whether that chased back to us or not. So this CGF, this Canada Growth Fund, purchases tens of thousands of tons of captured carbon credits from Entropy at $86.50 per ton. Over 15 years, this purchase is going to rise to 3 million tons. And this is just one company. He's got $15 billion set up to purchase from other firms. So basically, he's putting all the taxpayers' money into this, buying these carbon credits. For who? Because he's actually carbon taxing his public. So I haven't quite got to know where all this carbon credits is going. I haven't found the answer to that one yet.
I think it's going to like the whole point of the carbon credits is supposed to offset things, but isn't Al Gore one of the biggest proponents of that? Like a lot of his carbon swap companies, that's where a lot of the money's going to go, is directly to him.
Well, the thing is, if you're buying carbon credits, what is Trudeau offsetting if he's then taxing his people? So he's using the people's
I know what it is. It's this big motorcade that he drives around everywhere now. He used to drive around in like 2 or 3 SUVs. Now it's like 50 or something.
But this is how they're going to try and work it everywhere. This carbon offsetting paid by taxpayers' money to offset what? When they're going to tax the people with carbon tax. Because they tax them, carbon tax the farmers and everything now. It's just getting ridiculous. So this massive pool of credit and money, I haven't found the sinkhole where it's going yet. Any suggestions?
Well, the sinkhole's already there. It's quite obvious, isn't it? It's the, $3 trillion deficit globally. That's how much banks and major corporations are in debt. So there is no money anymore. So they've got to make a new money, haven't they? And the new money is carbon capture. Or, you know, if you want to do something which produces carbon, you've got to pay me something for that. You've got to pay your government for that. So it's a
bit of a conundrum, though, isn't it? The carbon capture, because it doesn't produce anything, but it uses energy to capture something, it's got to offset its carbon footprint by capturing the carbon it's capturing. It's
all a big scam, but
it's just a massive scam.
It's made so complicated that people can't get their heads around it. I'm damned if I can get my head around it.
Well, that blue carbon company that the one of the Dubai royal family's gone and created to manage large swathes of land in African countries so they can offset their carbon footprint.
Well, they used to say, or that the con used to be, we're going to plant trees for you. And so the land's not going to be used for anything else apart from trees. Which are a carbon capture device, a natural one.
Yep.
But then we had all that nonsense about Gates wanting to bury how many thousands of acres?
Millions.
How many millions of acres?
Yep, millions of trees. Millions of trees, buried a lot in airtight things. But to create such a thing, carbon footprint.
So going back to your original, well, not your original, but one of your earlier points, is why have these unelected, unwelcome, unwanted, and largely unloved individuals got so much influence? And it's all down to their vast wealth or their perceived wealth that is allowing them to call the shots. And if someone did some proper digging, found out the frauds that they are committing, and removed any immunity from prosecution from them.
That's the thing. That is the thing. Because it's bloody obvious, and that is the problem. The immunity is still out there. How long are these emergency umbrellas going to be? Is it going to be up there till a whole generation is dead?
Yes. That's their plan. They will keep it up as long as possible.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do. Actually, I'm going way back in the conversation now. The first United Nations water meeting in 1977 in Argentina.
Yeah.
Was that planned prior to 77, a couple of years before, or was it as a direct result of the 1976 long hot summer and European drought that caused
I actually reckon they just all wanted to see the Star Wars film when it came out in 1977.
Could be.
Yeah, and it was just a meeting, and everybody flew in on their jets for the thousands. And then once it had started, it went, well, okay. Didn't have another one for 46 years.
Unfortunately, I can't find the video.
Until it completed all 9 films.
Yeah, I can't find the video of the carbon capture thing. I was digging through some of the stuff that we had here, and I don't have it anymore, I don't think.
Don't worry. It just makes it out to be
it's atrocious. They basically say in the video itself, in the promo video itself from the WEF, they basically say, there's no actual product here, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, because they got backing and money out of what? Research from what pays for it all? Taxpayers' money.
Taxpayer money.
Right now, there's 0.1% of the CO2 that's produced from manufacturing and whatnot is captured currently. It's like 40 million tons or something like that is all they capture with carbon capture.
Yeah, they've proved everyone that they've gone for, and they've actually done it for years and over years has failed, and actually they've just created a carbon footprint if they wanted to do it every way around. It's just a joke, and as the money that has just been piled into it, it could be used for ordinary people keeping economies afloat.
The problem though. That's the problem. The economy doing well is the problem, because then that means there's more pollution, and then there's going to be more problems in the future because of temperature or whatever they say.
So I stop the scientists using what should be scientifically used and advancements and everything.
Honestly,
crap going.
Honestly, we're progressing too quickly technologically, and there's the internet in the early days was kind of like the Wild West. And some of the technologies that are coming are going to create a new Wild West. And if they don't get control of it, they being the elites, if they don't get control of that technology, then we will break away from them. They won't be able to get control anymore. And I think that's what they're, that's why they're trying to take over this fourth industrial revolution that Schwab talks about, is they want to stop us from progressing as humans. Because once we start going to space, once we start branching out and expanding,
we start losing the chains.
They lose control.
Yeah, exactly. We start losing the chains that they've got on us. I know. Yeah. And the chains, the massive change that they're trying to unleash on us is that digital chain, that everybody's accepting. And you take what happened just in Poland. Donald Tusk, you know, he got voted in.
And supposedly,
and he's an EU rabbit. And he said, this is to bring democracy back to Poland.
Right.
What's he done? What has he done? Is it the TVA, the media stuff? Polish TVA and what was it called? Polski Radio, the People's Radio. Guess who's in there? The police.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all in there, bang, shut it down, silenced everybody, he's in charge. Well done, Europe. That's very good.
Democracy.
For the benefit of the listener, a UN
that's a UN bonus in the back seat, is it?
Diplomatic immunity, my friend. That's what it looks like.
A lady of negotiable virtue appears to be cowgirl riding someone in a white shirt with metal ribbons on his chest. By the look of the number of ribbons, that could only be an American.
I've been to the toilet. Yeah. I actually went into my back garden and got a bit of salad on me. Uniform and anything else.
Yeah.
I see where Martin's coming.
You do, don't you?
I do.
The UN is corrupt. We know what's been, how it's being used. And all of these things, this carbon capture nonsense, the climate change lies, COVID, all of these things are there to pressure normal everyday people into believing that the only answer is global government. And, you know, I'm not going to have a blazing row on a round table with you guys, but this concept of us going to space is what's driving it. That's where they want to be. You don't think for a minute that a group of farmers in Arkansas can get together and get a rocket up there and do anything. The only way we are getting to Mars and to colonize space is via global government. The only way it could ever happen. I do not want that to happen, as in global government. So therefore, I'm quite willing to accept that we should never be striving for space, because it's only going to happen with a global government.
And you're not going to get a global government if you don't go to space. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is you won't get to space without global government. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. But if you stay here, will you get a global government?
No, because we're going to fight it. Because once they've made that move on, then they really don't need us anymore. Then they can use the more lethal pathogens that they've been developing in Wuhan and in other laboratories around the world at taxpayers' expense and get rid of most of us. Once the AI's up and they can build whatever they want to build using automation, farm whatever they want to farm using automation, they will not need around about 7 billion of the 8 billion people on the face of the earth.
Future or no future, whether there's a fight here first or not, man will get into space. That is inevitable.
Fight first.
Inevitable.
And this concept of oligarchs, the ultra rich, the globalist elite have to be torn down. And
they have to be torn down either way. I mean, it can't be existence. But the point is, one way or another, it is the existence, whether we go through another dystopian dark age or whatever, eventually, as long as there's a human race, eventually, as long as there's a human race, you will get out there.
Yeah, but it's millennia away. It's not within.
I mean, they've tried to create the zero asset culture for their main thing, because they just want little creations in their little hive communities to do the asteroid mining, do whatever they want on the planets in the solar system without any comeback. They are frightened of individuality and everything. That is why they want a zero asset culture, so everybody can mindlessly go around and do anything. They are frightened of any form of say so. And they will use, and they are using this platform, Our Dear World, to do it.
You know,
and that is the biggest problem.
we've been talking, we did one about comedy a little while ago. We've been talking about the controversy around some of the things that Ricky Gervais has said in his last stand-up show that he's done. It's called Armageddon. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Quite and he, I've watched it today in its entirety, apart from the very end when I fell asleep. So, but what he's saying is that it's funny, this guy, when he was referring to us as egotistical apes, yeah, and this guy's messaging him on Twitter, X, or whatever you want to call it, hey, dude, I ain't no ape, you speak for yourself. He says, we are apes, that's what we are. No, we ain't, man, we went to the moon. And Gervais says, what do you mean we? You did all. And that is the nature of humans. We say, we did this, we did that. It's not we at all. It's, as I totally agree with Ricky on this one, the entire human race is interspersed with the odd genius here and there that has progressed us forward. And the majority of people just follow or get in the way a lot of the time. But we've got to be careful about which geniuses we let have free reign with global resources and global funds and pushing things in a certain direction. To my mind, Johnny's got his finger up, so I'm going to stop talking.
No, go, finish your point.
Well, no, the point is, as much as we might want to see what's beyond Earth and is there somewhere else that we can colonize and how we can move around, we just have to be careful which geniuses we let have that amount of power, responsibility, and freedom. Because so many geniuses in the last, let's say, 1,000 years have made huge, glaring screw-ups, Oppenheimer being one of them.
Well, I...
We have made a load of mistakes. I totally agree. But the point is, how far do you actually take the idea of not to leave the Earth back to not to leave an area of the Earth to fuck it, we should have never left our country in the first place and explored? That is natural for the human race to explore, to get curious and go along. And that is the drive they're trying to get the fuck out of us. And that is the problem. We have a natural ability to be brilliant. If you think about it, how long has the race been going on for? We are all daughters and sons of champions that have got us here, that has fought for something. And they're trying to, and they're doing a good job of dumbing down that line, because everybody that's got here has been the daughter or son of a survivor.
Well, this
and
is
that
biggest...
is the thing that pisses me off, because yeah, sure. It isn't just, oh, we are nothing. We are everything. We are the product of somebody that's fought a long way and a lot of generations to get us here. And giving up isn't it. And going forward has to be it. Sorry, I should shut up.
No, you're
well,
fine.
I'm just letting Johnny carry on.
It's a great point. But I think to both of your points here, we're glossing over the fact of what is a genius. Because I look at the sorry sacks that are about to...
Spike Milligan.
Spike Milligan. I look at the sorry sacks that are about to fly their sorry behinds into Davos. I would not call that a meeting, gentlemen. I would call that a target-rich environment. And I don't see a single genius down there amongst any of them.
They're not geniuses.
No, they're not. They think they are con men, but that's my point, is they're idiots, but they think they're geniuses, and they are not. So they're looking at this is the point that I was actually making with Melissa earlier in this week. When you put somebody in a leadership position that is not a leader, you have a very serious problem, because you're not going to have any leadership. And then as a result of that, you're going to have somebody that's not qualified in a leadership position that's going to put more stupid people around them to elevate their own stupidity, to make themselves look better.
Basic
this is why when you hand
basic management,
this is not just basic management in corporations. This is across everything. This is in our Fortune 500. This is in our universities. This is in our government, our politics, our media, everywhere. It's infected everything, and it's got to stop. It has got to stop.
Yeah. The people that you couldn't do a bad write or truthful write up against got told they're the shakers and movers. And it's just the
stakeholders.
It's upside down. The whole system is negative feedback loop, and it's not good.
But that's what all these foundations are about. That's what all these sponsoring of individuals' educations, They find someone with the, you know, something special about them. They put them through a university education. They are beholden then to the owners of that foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, the Free Society with Soros, so on and so forth, the Obama's stuff, and they get used. So they're not taught leadership. They are put in a situation where they can use whatever gift they've been given and take it as far as they can possibly take it. But it's under the payment and instruction of these globalist elite, super rich, greedy bastards, basically. And he puts Trudeau up there, sat like an absolute minster.
Who sits like that? Because he is the type you're talking about.
Yeah,
well, yeah. It's your common sense, especially the balancing thing. But if you don't listen to it, you will never find the ability to stand up and say something or be honest. Well, your intelligence can run rife down a myopic way, yeah, and still you might think you're achieving something, but not to a positive end. You're achieving something for somebody else.
Yeah, and that's what these so-called geniuses have been doing for quite a few decades now.
Oh, yeah, they have, yeah.
Yeah, there's more than one category, obviously. You've got your entertainment genius who, if shaped the right way, gets everybody to think that the new woke right-on message is the only way to be. So they modify people's behavior in that respect. Then you've got the mass-produced politicians, such as tossers like Trudeau. You know, they're mass-produced. They do the same type of degree.
You think he's
They've got
capable?
The same background. Sorry?
No, he's not capable.
You think he's capable?
No, of course he's not capable, but at the same time.
Tosser. You called him a tosser.
Yeah, I don't know.
When you finish your point, I found the carbon capture devices. We have to play it. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
My point is there are lots of these mass-produced geniuses ready to get put into roles by these deep state globalist elite, whatever you want to call them, and a real genius with a bit of leadership and guts about them would walk into the meeting room, kick those bastards out, grab himself a research team or herself a research team and get on with the job. But that's not what's happening. They are being told what path to take. And we just have to be careful wherever we can to not allow useless people.
Oh, God, they're all there already.
To get into these roles.
Well, the point of putting those useless people in is to make sure that they are well on their way to being agents of influence and blackmailed and whatever else to do what needs to be done. And they will just be replaced by the 15 others that are behind them. But anyway, which Bruce and I were talking offline the other day, if we can get rid of the underlying rot, as in like the infiltration and the actual corruption, if we can get rid of that, the corruption stuff that we deal with, like the boss hog type stuff, we can clean that up easy enough, I think. But we've got to get rid of this really stinking underlying rot that is coming in from other places like Beijing and Moscow. But anyway, speaking of that, let's talk about this. I have to play this. These are the carbon capture devices that Ned was talking about. I found it. So here we go.
Have reactors that are packaged into container-sized shipping container-sized devices, and so we are building those containers in a factory and shipping them out to site and arranging them into arrays. When air passes over that material, it absorbs CO2. When that material is loaded, it takes about 30 minutes. We take that reactor offline, heat it up, and that releases the CO2, which is the product, and then that reactor is put back in service. So we have hundreds or thousands of reactors operating in unison, so we have some that are always capturing and some that are delivering the CO2. ingredients for a direct air capture project is that, you know, you need access to land and land that has the right geology for, you know, for sequestering the CO2 or a use case for the CO2. And then you also need to be partnered and have access to renewables as well, because direct air capture is a fairly energy intensive process.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
There is no real product, because ultimately what we're doing is we're doing disposal. And the product that we're generating is actually, through the way things are being monitored and tracked, it's actually a fiscal instrument. It's actually a carbon removal credit, which is the actual financial product that we sell.
I had to stop it because I think Marty's about to come unglued, but go ahead, Marty.
In effect, companies will pay carbon and capture to offset.
Yeah, he is. And Marty is holding a very large sword in his right hand.
It's not actually. It's quite a small sword. It's made from latex and carbon fiber down the middle. But all of that, look at the size of the land that these inverted commas reactors are put on.
What you mean about biodiversity? Zero.
Well, you're going to need to cut down 70 million acres of trees, and Bill's already on that. So.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking up land that would otherwise have diverse plant growth on it and putting big chunks of metal that do absolutely nothing. Nothing.
They generate a lot of energy. They did say that.
They use a lot of energy. They got to do a massive hole all the way down.
They got to do it because you're going to put the CO2 into saltwater aquifer. Yeah.
That will never, that itself, the creation of its own carbon footprint, if somebody had a formula, that will never in its lifetime meet what was used up to create it.
No.
It's just bollocks.
It's a great big, huge lie.
Oh, yeah, and it had that WEF symbol on the front when it started, didn't it?
It did.
However, I would like everyone, if you get a chance to speak to anyone who's involved in this carbon capture concept, point them in my direction, get them over to me, and then that way I'll take the rap for all of us. But what an absolute lie.
Can I ask
Let Bruce make his point, because he's been trying to jump in there. Bruce, you got to knock these guys out of the way sometimes. So.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask a question. Where's all the people that are against fracking and all of that? Because that's basically what fracking is. They use salt water, pump it down, and to get the oils and everything out more efficiently. They're literally taking CO2 and pumping it down into the ground. The problems with fracking, you do actually trigger earthquakes with fracking. They're very minor, smaller earthquakes, but that causes that. Where's people speaking out about this? I mean, this is going to do the same thing. It's going to cause damage and everything. And then because it's a gas at the same time, what happens when you start filling that up and the gas either heats up or whatever? Like, it's just going to get into the atmosphere anyway. Even if you put it underground, it's going to find a way back to the surface.
Yeah.
This is just—it's just so stupid.
Oh, indeed. But take it to an extreme.
Ned, you had a dystopian question.
I do.
Yeah, go on, then, Ned.
Just a question: How far do you think a dystopian answer would take carbon capture to? Since we are all carbon life forms,
they're already saying it now.
When do they stop capturing? Start capturing people.
They're already
saying carbon out the picture.
They're doing it now.
They're already trying to do that. Yeah,
These suicide pods and everything. They're already, and you've got advocacy groups out of the UK that are already saying it.
So basically, if you turn your own family in, does that mean you get carbon credits?
I mean, there's carbon credits that way, or you're talking about the suicide pods. You have states here in the United States that are okaying the use of human bodies for fertilizer.
It's a business you can create. Yeah. You can imagine it. Yeah. Don't just snitch on your neighbor. Turn your neighbor in. You can get carbon credit. it's just nuts. I think we've lost him. I don't know what's happened there.
No, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Right, Marty, go ahead. Space. Jump in there.
I've been here the whole time. Look, some lunatic has even suggested, bearing in mind that you've got all of the temperature on Mars is like a constant 70 below, something like that.
Quite cool.
Yeah. Maybe we could just set off a couple of nukes on there, melt off some of these ice sheets, create an atmosphere, and get a bit of global warming going on to Mars.
I heard set nuclears off, melt ice sheets, and then
what he was doing. what he was doing, he was talking about the movie Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger is what he was doing.
Exactly. But it's been suggested. It's been suggested. It is being considered that in to help terraform Mars would be to nuke it. And that's just scary. That's just scary shit.
Hello, the thing we got, one thing you've got to get here, right, is the biggest problem we have is we do not have freedom of speech. Any suggestion, anything else, people could come up with all manner of weird ideas and amount of weird ideas, stupid ideas you listen to and you can laugh off the platform, and that's the point of it. The point is it's a one-sided thing, and they, like you say, they'll just put these puppets out there to suggest some stupid diabolical thing. You just got to ignore the twats. I mean, that's all you can do. I mean, it is just daft.
Yeah, but that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing because we're free thinkers. Unfortunately, but,
there's probably a few free thinkers listening to us too.
There's free thinkers,
but yeah, it's I mean, the idea, I just mentioned the word nuke anything. It's just stupid. I mean, I don't think the people realize how much nuking actually went on the atolls.
You're talking about the nuclear testing that we did.
Yeah.
Back in the 50s.
Endless, yeah. The amount of it, people don't realize the amount of it was just unimaginable that you didn't hear about. It was just mental. I mean, they went from standard atomic bombs and then they went to the H-bomb and everything else. And countries really started to get scared at that point. But that much was triggered off in our atmosphere before they did the underground testing, and God knows what that does. I mean, there's always a cause of an effect. I mean, if you think about it, we live on a round thing, yeah? So, and all that pressure, all that... okay, actually, I don't want to say I was a flat earther, but, you know, we'll get out of this, shall we? But everything, it reverberates, it goes. It's cause and effect. I mean, the amount of damage or... like a massive percussion instrument that the world must have been at one stage. It was just, and these prats are arsing about CO2, which is turning our Earth nice and green. It just doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. It is a control mechanism. Yeah, it's a social control mechanism. I mean, this digital shit, that is where it's got to stop. That is the one thing that has to be stopped. Otherwise, the people are sunk. The EU have got, they've raised some law to do, they're having to go at X, aren't they? They're having to go at X.
Yeah, they're going after it for some kind of like some regulators are going after it for
which
something.
They just put a law in August so they could.
Yes.
So yeah, they're having a fight with X and they're trying to control that. Do you know that the EU have put into place to say that you could either be fined up to 6% of your annual income or not be here at all if we get found guilty for any
laws. See, Ned, they're going to need those 6%? Trillions, so they're going to have to raise it somewhere.
Jesus Christ. And then you got Poland, of course. Yeah sorry.
I was just going to toss in, you were mentioning the nuclear devices and how many's been detonated. There's over 2,100 nuclear tests. This includes atomic bombs and everything, so from 1945 onward, and there's been 2,475 devices that have been detonated. So
that's a disgusting amount. When you think that the small ones were used in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
We actually haven't had any nuclear tests. I believe the last nuclear test we had in the West was done by France in 1992.
Not this millennia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course.
Which means we have not built any nuclear weapons. I'd just like to point that out.
Mm. But the East have been trying catch up.
Oh, yes. And they are very, very close to doing so.
Again, it's just crazy, isn't
scary.
It?
It's scary. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I tell people when I say, do you understand that the Russians and the Chinese are putting out nuclear weapons like sausages? Like, do you not understand? Do you think they're just going to build them and stick them in a hole in the ground and just leave them? No. Well, they're building them and they intend to use them.
You remember the story we talked about of there was an explosion in northern Russia and like eight people were rushed to the hospital with radiation burns and poisoning.
But there was no But there was no, explosion.
Yeah.
Even though people were running around with Geiger counters, showing it just like pegging off.
But I mean, where it was the frightening sense that nobody wants to lose their country. Now it's got to a point where it seems like, well, if I can't have it, nobody's having it.
That's the mantra. Is that right there?
Yeah. And that's the scary shit.
Yeah.
And that is not nice.
Got anything cheery to talk about? I'll get depressed.
Yes.
I've
got a couple of positive things in the UK, Marty.
Really?
Hopefully positive. It's always a move in the right direction. Our little boy, Andrew Bridgeton.
Yes. Good old Andrew.
Yes. And he basically wanted to raise a paper on his, because when he realized that he's been told to shut up about COVID, then he used the ruling that you could speak up about any new subject for 10 minutes in the House to start a petition or something, so they can then hold a proper speech in Parliament, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he spoke up about the WHO and the sovereignty and la 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 la. Well, we needed and then I said, hey people, we need 100,000 signatures. Well, he got 116,000 and then it triggered it. So they had a talk about this in Parliament last month. Didn't get out in the media. You didn't see it, did you, Mai?
No, I didn't.
No. There is a site called saveoursovereignty.co.uk and people can actually see stuff that went on. But he also engineered something else the other day, which didn't get aired. And that was on the 4th of December, there was a UK Parliament meeting, right? A presentation, not official, but still it was in a background. And it was the hosting presentation and it had people such as Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Cole, Steve Kirsch, Pierre Corey, Professor Angus Dalgleish, David E. Martin, Peter McCulloch, Mike Yeldon. They're all doing presentations at this, all about what's been going on, and it was just for our UK Parliament. Now, I haven't seen the outcome of that, and I've been trying to find what's going on. But obviously, Christmas got stamped on top of it, and we've got to chase it up and see what's going on. But he's still going. He's still moving.
I think Andrew Bridgeton deserves our support and to be applauded for carrying on the fight. But it irritates me. It irritates me that to get anything discussed, you need 100,000 signatures. Yeah.
To be presented to Parliament properly.
To be presented to Parliament. And there is an online process to do that. And the NHS has got 2 million employees. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when the petition to get the debate on whether or not, to stop the mandate for COVID jabs,
mm-hmm.
I think they only got 250,000 signatures.
That's disgusting.
So, you've got 2 million people within the NHS. Some of them were just blindly doing what they'd been told and believed the whole lie. But you've got the rest of the country as well that can still sign those petitions.
Yep.
To only get 116,000 people signing it, in Andrew's case, I think it's disgusting. It should have been 10 times that amount. We had 750,000 immigrants into this country last year alone, of which 450,000 were illegal immigrants. And we can only get 116,000 people aware enough and awake enough to sign a petition
away from the WHO. Yeah,
yeah, it's a bit of an indictment.
Should have been 70% of the populace.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh yeah, and that should have happened within a matter of weeks.
Within two or three weeks.
The point is, nobody watches Parliament, or it isn't aired properly half the time.
Or you've got somebody in there making a point at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody's asleep and no one's in there.
And you can only watch it live because it's not out on the media platform.
It's there. It's there on one of the crap Virgin Media channels that I was talking about earlier on. You will see Parliament Live. It is there and it is available for people, but people don't necessarily watch it. What is going to be debated isn't publicised widely enough. It should be. It should be an everyday thing. We've all got email addresses now, or most of us have. I would welcome that kind of spam. Today in Parliament, the following will be discussed and it will be televised at this time. And then you can see people, your duly elected members of Parliament, not being there when someone like Andrew Bridgen stands up to speak, because they clear the place.
Yeah.
They all decide to finish, you know, an hour
early. Actually, there were more than three or four that actually stood up and spoke with him about this sovereignty thing. There were a few more this time.
Well, that's gratifying, it's heartwarming that.
But then saying that, you talked about the NHS. What's the next biggest sellout? You've got an American company called Palantir. Remember we talked about them years ago?
Yes, Mr. Peter Thiel, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he's got a deal going with, or trying to get a deal going with, our UK government, Rishi Sunak, Robin, for $330 million for NHS data.
Yes, Palantir has to do with they're into data mining. Bruce talked about it. We discussed it.
They're a horrible bunch.
Oh, yeah.
There's a group of people called the Good Law Project, yeah, in this country, and they tried to bring things to the fore, yeah. And
Alex Karp is another one you need to look at in business with Peter Thiel.
They were actually getting bad-mouthed, and I wondered why. And then I followed the footprint back to a PR firm, which were being paid by Palantir. And the I think the PR firm was called... I wrote the bloody name down. Topham Goering or something. And they were actually doing a questionnaire-like thing and saying, well, take the questionnaire, but don't refer to us or whatever, you know, if you want. And it's just, it's horrible. It is really digging in. And that's Rishi Sunak. I mean, I am, if I get the chance, I want to have a, and I'll do it next Friday, I want to do a thing on Moderna and how it's mixed up in just about God knows how many things and where this mm-hmm. pharmaceutical thing's going, especially in the, because there are things in established now within the UK and the US, which are very connected now for the future. And it's quite scary.
We're actually at time, so we are going to have to go. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen, having everybody on for the first roundtable of the year.
One good thing.
Uh-huh.
The toilet seat I fixed for Christmas is still okay.
For those that have not heard our Christmas special in 2023, you need to go back and listen to that. We included the prep session on that for everybody. If you were wondering what Ned was referring to, that's what it was. So, well, it has been an absolute pleasure, gentlemen. Any final thoughts? Any final words you'd like to impart? So just speak up.
Just keep the fight up. Fight harder. I don't know. Bless you all. Just do it. It's not easy. Marty.
I'd like to apologize for any burbling and running off at the mouth I've done this evening, because
it.
I am very heavily medicated, and it's good to see you, Bruce. I'd like you to have the final word.
Yeah. So mine is kind of not on anything what we just talked about. Mine is kind of a pet peeve. I kind of have a pet peeve with people and their New Year's resolutions and everything that they do, because it usually only lasts like 2 weeks and then they fail the resolution. Instead of doing like a resolution to, Johnny and I kind of talked about it, going to the gym as an example, or diet changes or those kind of things. Start with something small and just make a lifestyle change. Don't think it's a resolution. We're going to start it at the no. Just do a lifestyle change. Plan on this being a long term. This is going to be something permanent, and do it slowly. Like, just kind of ease yourself into it. And once you start seeing a little bit of results, use those, like, track it. So as an example, if you're exercising, take pictures, take measurements, your weight, everything when you first start, and then do a progress report and keep, track of all of that as time goes, so you can see the progress and see how much you've changed or improved to encourage yourself to keep going. That's what I got there.
That's good advice. If GP was here, he would of course say also, and pick up some trash.
Pick up at least two pieces of trash per day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to call GP. He is a captain now. I don't know if you guys knew that. He went out and he got his. Yes, he went out and he got his captain's license. He is now a charter fishing boat captain. That's what he's doing.
He's just having the best life, that guy.
So now he's the storm's wrecked everything he's got on land. Now he's going to go meet the storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's already, he's bought a new house. Excellent. Yeah. He's bought a new house. And he was doing search and rescue for a while and met some people there. Obviously, you know, people like doing boat search and rescue stuff. And now he went out and he got his, of course, before all that, he was a lorry driver or a truck driver, as we say. And then he, because of the hurricane, he lost his job there because he was busy doing, he was stuck on the island. There was no way he could get off the island. So because the bridge was out. So there was, he lost his job. So he went to work for search and rescue and then took a part-time job at a hardware store. This, he's literally like a jack of all trades.
Hey, now you've got to catch up with GP. You've got to do one.
I'm going to have to just so he can give us a progress report. But like he's I said, he is going to be, I told him to go out and get a captain's hat and he has to wear it everywhere now. So
didn't he also do like a food truck or something like that?
Yes, he has a food truck too. I forgot about that. Yeah, he's doing a food truck. He's doing breakfast orders and short order stuff and he's selling ice cream on the beach.
Oh, excellent. Hey, that is one positive man. That is.
He is. He does not quit. He does not quit on anything. So anyway. Yeah. All right. We are going to have to go. As always, thank you to all the listeners. If you'd like to support our work, please do so by clicking the link in the program description below. Every little bit helps. Thank you very much for being here today, gentlemen. Thank you to all the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.